Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
And welcome to Wrestle Culture. God save our wrestling. Long live our wrestling. God save wrestling. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by Phil James and Adam Nicholas from What Culture to discuss all the goings on in wrestling this week and preview AEW Double or Nothing, where Anthony Ogogo is going to crush that American idiot, Cody Rhodes. A very patriotic episode of Wrestle Culture today. Britain versus America. Please, Americans, don't unsubscribe. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we review Raw, SmackDown, NXT, AEW, Dynamite, pay-per-views. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on Wrestle Culture. As I said, though, joined by Phil and Nicholas. Busy all week this week, lads. Double or Nothing, of course, on Sunday night. SmackDown and Dynamite tonight. But Adam Nicholas, you'll be doing the live stream on Sunday with Ben Roy for Double or Nothing. How are you feeling ahead of the pay-per-view?
Very good. I'm feeling, just me personally, or about the pay-per-view? What do you want to know? What would you like to know, Adam? Well, first of all, I'd like to state that, and I can't possibly speak for Phil here as well, but I can have a good guess that I feel like he's going to feel the same. I think you're the only patriotic person on the podcast.
Yep. I mean, I was thinking the exact same thing.
I'm all for Anthony Ogogo. Don't get me wrong. He's absolutely great. But you can keep your patriotism. You can have it. You can do it all with your flags, Wilborn. You can do the lot. That is all you, my friend.
Phil, it's been a mad old week. Firings in WWE today, the news about a partnership with New Japan and WWE, and now, yeah, Double or Nothing on the horizon. How are you feeling, mate? How are the chickens too?
Chickens are good. I thought you were just going to go into talking about Eurovision to get your patriotism back on again.
Not you as well, Phil. Come on.
I am not patriotic at all. Chickens are fine though. Still in their cage, still chickening. Got 4 eggs out of them the other day.
Oh. Well. Ooh.
But yeah, wrestling's good too.
Yes. quick word on Eurovision, Nicholas. I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but Eurovision was, of course, last weekend, one of the greatest events in the calendar. And
I'd just like to point out, just before you start this, I've been very well behaved this year. I don't personally watch it. I don't necessarily like it, but I like that you like it. I like that everybody else is having a good time watching it. I genuinely was enjoying watching people enjoy it. But I just didn't want to watch it myself.
That's absolutely fair enough. Some people take it further than others, particularly myself and Phil Chambers, who are going to watch the Icelandic entry when he comes to Newcastle next year. Hey, Phil.
Higgs. Planning like almost a year and a half in advance for this, but the world's opening up at some point and we're going to go watch a man dance in a jumper.
All right. I like the energy, guys. I'm enjoying it.
Like, I love this. Like, Nicholas and Hamflet going to all these fun gigs and seeing these great progressive new artists. And I said to Phil, just let you know, Phil, me going to watch the Icelandic entry in Newcastle Students Union next year will be the first gig that I've been to since the Spice Girls at Stadium of Light. So
it seems rather fitting then that you'd be on the other side of the river this time, trying your hand at something possibly better. I don't know. Indeed. I don't know. I couldn't possibly state. Eurovision sounds like it was a hoot, though. It sounds like it was good fun.
It's no gimmick, this. Daddy Freyr is one of the best musicians I've listened to this year, Phil.
They are genuinely great. Some of the best music videos you can find out there as well. And definitely some of the best dance moves.
Oh, yeah.
Look, you two have a nice time. I like that you're enjoying yourselves.
Anyway, let's talk about Double Nothing, shall we? It's this weekend, as I mentioned, Ben Roy and Nicholas doing the live stream Sunday night. Do join them for that. A stacked card. We will conclude our chat about this with Stadium Stampede 2, which I can't quite believe is happening. But Nicholas, what match, other than Stadium Stampede, are you most looking forward to?
Tell you which match. I mean, there's lots to pick from on this card, which is always seems to be the case with the AEW. And then on the night, I feel like recently it feels like the matches you've anticipated the most maybe haven't landed as big as you wanted them to or as exactly as people were expecting. The one I think I'm most intrigued about, purely because it feels like a formality, but I don't care because I really, really want to see it, is Britt Baker and Hikaru Shida is the match. I'm just, the time is right, isn't it? It's time. It's time. She's ready. Britt Baker deserves to be the champ. She should be the champ. But also, based on all of the evidence prior to this, the match is going to absolutely rock, isn't it?
Yeah. It's good. It feels very sort of a foregone conclusion, Phil. But nevertheless, a year as champion, Hikaru Shida has done great with what they've given her. But it's now time for Britt Baker to take over, you reckon?
Yeah, totally. This heel win has been absolutely fantastic. She's been the best on the show so many times. And yeah, very excited to see what they do with this. But it's just such a ridiculously stacked card. It's going to be really good fun. I mean, you can't, like, Kenny Omega, anytime Kenny Omega and Pat get in the same ring, and then throwing Orange Cassidy into this mix as well, you cannot go wrong. And then just, I'm intrigued by Miro versus Lance Archer as well, because it's like, it's the first time since Miro's properly been what we kind of wanted him to be since he joined AEW, and he's going up against a guy like Lance Archer. You just think that's just going to be two guys beating the crap out of each other, and it's going to be really bloody good fun.
I will caveat that, Phil, of course, with tonight Miro defends the title against Dante Martin. So maybe...
it might not happen then.
He could drop it, but
what a swerve.
I sincerely doubt that. Yeah, I think they've worked wonders over the last few weeks and months with Miro from when he first came in to now. It's night and day, really, isn't it? You mentioned Kenny Omega there, Phil. Is there any chance he drops the title in a three-way to Cassidy and Pat? He doesn't have to be pinned, don't forget. That's the
old... No, move on.
You mean Orange Cassidy isn't walking out as the champion this weekend, Phil? Is that what you're telling me?
Hey, I've been wrong before, and I'm ready to be proved wrong again.
Yeah.
But no.
I do think that match is obviously less about the conclusion to it, Nicholas, and more about the spots we're going to get in there, because triple threats can go many different ways. We obviously saw that mad, just three big blokes kicking the crap out of each other at WrestleMania Backlash. But this, it's a intriguing dynamic, let's say, between the three gentlemen.
I think, to quote our colleague, Michael Sidgwick, I feel like the performers in the ring could produce performances that are slightly more deft than the large gentlemen who were smashing each other at Backlash. Not to say, by the way, that they didn't produce some excellent stuff, because Braun Strowman jumping off the apron on the outside was mad enough in itself. But yeah, this is going to be amazing, isn't it? I mean, you'd have faith if it was any of these just two parents, so like Pac versus Cassidy, Pac versus Kenny Omega, any of them, literally any combination of this works for me. And I just think the three of them are going to put on a massive, massive winner. My brain's trying to figure out how many triple threats we've had in the men's division and like the top end for like a big card. And I'm drawing a blank. Have we had many?
I don't think so. Obviously,
I'm thinking of any off the top of my head.
We've seen a lot of triple threats across the board recently, but in AEW, not to my knowledge, especially around the title picture. I can't think of a single one, if I'm perfectly honest. So we've got, great kickoff match, to be fair. Serena Deeb versus Riho is quite unpredictable as well. You sense Serena Deeb retains there, but a hell of a match to put in terms of like selling people and buying the pay-per-view. I think generally, you'd assume, well, actually, I don't know, Miro Lance Archer, Phil, who actually leaves with the title there? Because I've spoken to Andy and to Sige, and they can't make up their minds.
It's, yeah, it's difficult because they're throwing Lance Archer into this so quickly, but I think, like, Miro needs to, and it'll just be, like, the first big thing that he has to overcome in this title run. He's, he's got the shorts. You can't buy those shorts and then waste it for, it's like, a month-long run. Think of the shorts.
But I'm just looking at the, like, title matches. You know, we sense there's going to be a title change in the women's match, as you said. Very hard to call that tag match for me, Nicholas. I think I'm leaning towards an Eddie Kingston, not 100%, maybe not costing them the match, but being the catalyst in them, not unfortunately not taking the titles away from the Young Bucks. But you could see Mick Moxley and Kingston becoming tag team champion. I mean, they took their bloody shoes at the end of the day, eh?
I mean, they have got the shoes, so they're already halfway there to winning, I think, in my opinion. But, I mean, I would love to see this. I would love, like, Moxley and Eddie Kingston together are just so watchable in anything they do. Not to say the Young Bucks haven't been since they've gone heel, I should point out. They've done some great work as well. But I would want to see them win, but I have a sneaky suspicion I'm with you on this one. I think maybe the Young Bucks retain through means and ways.
Yeah. Phil, well, I sang the national anthem there. You know where my allegiances lie in that match.
Oh, that was.
Cody Rhodes, Anthony Ogogo, flag shagging aside, is very intriguing.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's going to be good fun, this one. They've obviously got high hopes for Anthony Ogogo going forwards, and you can't beat that punch. If he gets you, you're done. So you've got to end it with that. So it's, you've surely got to put Anthony Ogogo over. Like, it's not going to hurt Cody Rhodes losing this one, is it? But then also, America loses. So that's a huge spanner in the works because it's in America.
So I know who's winning this. Vince McMahon was booking it.
Yes.
This is true.
But it will be great as well to have, what is it, 5,500 fans in attendance, Nicholas?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's going to add to it hugely. Be interesting to see, though, what the response is going to be, because obviously Ogogo has gone all in on, like, if you pardon the pun, on being, like, Mr. Britain, essentially. tends not to go down well in America, that, does it? Like, no matter where you're from, if just from anywhere that isn't America, basically, it tends not to go down well. So it will be interesting to see, but I feel like this could be huge for Ogogo, because we've all been enjoying the promos. We've all been enjoying, like, how lethal they've made that punch of his. And I love that it's a punch to the stomach as well, to the gut. That's something really clever about that, because it could so easily have been just knock him out under the jaw. But he's hit you so hard in the stomach that you're crippled, that you can't move. I think that's amazing. I want to see him win this. But I remember very specifically when I wanted to see Lance Archer win the TNT Championship against Cody Rhodes. I remember that. I remember it well. And here we are. What happened in that match? It did not go down the way we thought it was going to, because they made a belt for Cody. But having said that, I mean, it's not like I had a huge knock-on effect. It's only like Lance might end up losing again. And I was going to call him Rusev there, to Miro. So at least there wasn't any lasting effects there, was there? That's good. No, I'm only joking, of course. I think it'd be interesting to see. I hope they go with the go-go. And I feel like Cody's smart enough to put him over. I want him to be. I'd like him to be. Please be.
I like the fact that you said, well, you'll know what happened there. And my brain went, Mike Tyson was yawning. That's what happened. I'm a vivid memory from that.
Mike Tyson was literally yawning. Oh, God. And they put the camera on him as well, didn't they?
Yeah, that was not great at the time.
Maybe Mike Tyson returns, helps Cody win, and then we get Anthony Ogogo versus Mike Tyson.
Oh, look at you with your little booger's hat on. I like it.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I also love the fact that, you know, presumably, you know, a lot of Americans, this sort of stereotype is like, oh, my God, have you met the Queen? And he probably has as an Olympian, so he...
I hate it so much. Because it is, that's what, anytime you see like a show where it's like Americans say they're traveling to the UK and they're getting a tour from someone, the people who are giving them these tours are exactly the stereotype that they think, oh, come to England, have crumpets and tea, and here's the Queen. And all this stuff.
And the Queen is for Taurus. The Queen isn't for us.
The Queen is not for us, is she? Like, in more ways than one, I imagine. But what I will say is that they're having a nice time, Phil. And that, again, yeah, that's all that matters, eh? That's, I'm trying, man. I'm trying.
One of the really intriguing things about this this show is the Casino Battle Royal AW World Championship match, or future AW World Championship match, on the line here. And the big question mark, yet again, even though this time AW haven't hyped it up too much, is who the Joker, who the mystery entrant is going to be. I'd love to know your picks for this. Phil, let's start with you.
Andrade,
oh, American
Dream, Carney. He's been on social media and stuff. He's been calling out Kenny. He's got the AAA link to the title over there as well. There's loads of stuff you could do in there. And just as a match, boy, howdy, that would be incredible. And as a massive FU to WWE, it'd be even better. So yeah, Andrade, and I'm going to be disappointed if it's anyone less.
It's not Brian, is it, Nicholas? Is it?
You never know. I think the one thing, you can never say never, admittedly. It would feel like a weird move. I feel like that would be a nuclear move from Brian at this point. Like, as a man who has said he would like to work with WWE in a different way, that's definitely one way of doing it. although I do think that maybe that is more tied to the little conversations we've heard about WWE talking with New Japan, as opposed to WWE just being like, yeah, cool, go and come back here after you've been at AEW and stole the show at Double or Nothing. I can't see that being the case, which is why my pick is definitely going to be John Cena, because he is a man who already apparently has nuclear heat after the whole thing that happened with him. So why not go, all right, then you want to give me nuclear heat? I'm off to AEW and I'm going to go and squash everyone in this. Imagine, oh, it would be worth the price of admission alone just to watch John Cena F you and everybody, or A and everybody in that ring, to victory on his first night.
Oh, God.
That would be quite something. In all seriousness, though, I'm with Phil. I want it to be Andrade. I love Andrade and I think he's a good fit. But I don't want him to be an AEW-only superstar. I want him to be able to freely move between places. Yeah.
The thing is, I look at that and go, well, obviously Christian Cage is winning this. So you have to bring, well, that's what I think anyway. So you have to try and bring someone in to be the Joker for people to be like, oh, but then also they can lose. And you're not like, well, they're ruined straight away. So I'm just going to parrot a take that one Andy Murray gave me earlier on this week. And that is, in his words, well, it's Paul White, the Big Show. Who can be, an exciting reveal as number 21, but also can, well, if they can get him over the top rope, can get thrown out and not really lose anything. What do you reckon, Phil?
Yeah, I'd be down with that. They definitely aren't hyping it that much this time, but maybe they've just learned from their past mistakes. and as Nicholas was just miming there, you could put him in against Anthony Ogogo at some point and do punch versus punch.
Exactly. And have Big Show lose. Oh no, have a go-go lose. He goes down. The Olympic boxer goes down to the weapon of mass destruction. I mean, if that was Vince again, that's what we'll be watching, I think, at this point. Because he's so big. But I guess he's, what is he now? Is he just Paul White? Or would he have would we rebrand him? Because he was, so like, you could have the large event. Could he be the large event? Is that what we call him? I don't know.
I think that's very much what is he doing in the impact zone.
Definitely.
But just to cover ourselves off, I'll say Brock, and then that'll.
Oh, cool. Hang on. I've got one last name on the bingo. CM Punk. Anybody got CM Punk?
All right, imagine cool. If it's CM Punk. No mention of him this time.
You
like,
know what it is? CM Punk. At this point, he can never wrestle again. He can never wrestle again because it's never going to be it now. Like, it's so ridiculous how many times he's been the name. I just, no.
We are going to go into more detail, myself and Michael Sidgwick, in terms of previewing the entire card in a podcast that will come out tomorrow. But we'll conclude our discussion of Double or Nothing now, Adam Nicholas, by talking about, well, I think it's been confirmed, actually, as the main event. That is Stadium Stampede 2, the Pinnacle versus the Inner Circle. If the Inner Circle lose, they must disband as a team forever. And up until, again, I spoke to Andy Murray this week, I thought, well, obviously, Inner Circle win, and we roll on to bloodier and gutsier two, whatever it may be. But it could it be the end of the Inner Circle on Sunday? What are you anticipating with this?
I think it should be. I personally think it should have been after Blood and Guts for my money, because it felt like that was a big deal. It felt like that Blood and Guts felt like, I mean, yes, I know people weren't super into the finish because of the camera angles more than anything else, I would say. But that should have been it. They should have saw that. I wasn't a fan when they turned straight back up, and I felt like the cameraman catching Jericho hiding in the back of the car.
I saw your tweet and went, oh yeah, there he is.
Well, that was like the perfect thing that could have happened. Just remind everyone that they haven't even been away for 5 minutes. And like, it was so not well handled, in my opinion, that we could even see him through the car. Do you know, I don't know. I just feel like they would have benefited from them going away and disappearing. But I think it's not rare this. I do like a bit of comedy in my wrestling, but I think I'm with Andy Murray on this one, where I feel like this needs to be like, if whoever's getting ended needs to get ended in a big old way. And it's not going to be the pinnacle, is it? So it can't be the pinnacle. They've only just got started.
Yeah, I was looking back on Stadium Stampede 1 as part of the hashtag bloody good quiz, which is incoming in a few minutes' time. And I thought, well, they can't do any of this on Sunday. Phil, talk me through your experience, A, of that Double or Nothing that we watched together last year and how it basically saved yours and I's lockdown brains, but also what they do this time around.
Yeah, I think last time was so special because it was at a time in lockdown where it was much needed, a little bit of levity in the world and things.
Well, we quite enjoyed Money in the Bank just because we needed to, basically.
Yeah, yeah. But it's because it kind of had a little bit of everything. It had the mix of the comedy spots. It had bloody Hangman Pose racing in on a horse. And then it built to like big spots, like Matt Jackson jumping off the football goalposts, and then the finish, the massive one-winged angel and stuff. Like, it had a little bit of everything, but this can't have a little bit of everything. Like Nicholas said, you can't go into full comedy in this because it's not the story. It doesn't fit at all with what they've presented in everything else, especially coming off a pay-per-view, like a show just named Blood and Guts, specifically because of this one match was going to be really bloody and really gutsy, I guess. So it doesn't make any sense. So I'm intrigued as to what they do with it this time around, but it needs to be different. It needs to stand out. And I'm with Nicholas where I don't think it was needed this early on in the feud. Like, if you think about it, this feud's really not been going a huge amount of time. Obviously, the story there in the background's been going for a long time, but the Pinnacle versus the Inner Circle only really got built to Blood and Guts and then to this. And yet there's so many different stories and things that intertwine amongst all of this that they probably should have just gone from Blood and Guts into a bunch of singles and tagged stories that went off in their own separate way and then came back to culminate into this as like a big finish for the feud or something like that, to like separate them all out, get a load of different matches out of it instead of just going right away Inner Circle versus the Pinnacle. If the Inner Circle lose, then they have to break up, because then if they lose and they have to break up, can you still go into the single one-on-one feuds? And it's still, because you'd still have all the ties to the Inner Circle, and will that make sense if they have to break up? So it's, I feel like they may have booked themselves into a corner with this one, yet like they've always managed to pull these things out in the past, so you've got to give them the benefit of the doubt. It's not like WWE at this point where they've done it so many times where you just cannot see any way out of it. Like, I think there is still a way out of it for AEW, but I'm just intrigued as to what exactly that is.
I will say this, you just reminded me in the discussion we had earlier that there is an honorary member of the Inner Circle who's not mentioned. That is one Mike Tyson. I suppose they could maybe protect the Pinnacle slightly by having, I don't know, I feel bad picking on him because I think he's been great since he joined the Pinnacle, but like Sean Spears getting his lights taken out because Mike Tyson just happens to be passing the stadium. I don't know, would that work? I'm desperately trying to find ways, like you say, to get to those singles matches or the different permutations you can have without them being like, well, you're not called the Inner Circle anymore, we're gonna keep feuding.
I don't know, they need something like that, but it's especially like if it's going to be the main event as well, like they need something, and I just don't see how you finish this in a way that's sort of main event of a pay-per-view of this quality, like worthy, because the rest of the card is absolutely fantastic. So it needs to pull out something special.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Before we get to this week's hashtag bloody good quiz, Nicholas, quiet Friday for you and I. More WWE firings, and not to dismiss what's come before with all the staff of WWE who've lost their jobs, which again is awful news. We wish them best of luck in whatever they do next. And again, just to reiterate, completely unnecessary by a company who are talking about forming a partnership with New Japan and record profits again and again and again. But the Tom Phillips news particularly hit me hard last night. I know you talked about it in the news this morning, but just now you've had time to take it in, it does feel so unnecessary to lose someone of his talent.
It just doesn't, like, whatever your opinion of Tom Phillips, I think you have to be able to say, like, the man did his job really well, I think. Like, yes, you might not. The thing I always go back to is commentator being there for the right moments, knowing when to be quiet specifically at the right moments, and knowing how to direct the others in a way not too dissimilar, Adam Wilborn, to the way you handle the Dudleys on the podcast. Very similar to that, although I would say you maybe are a little bit louder than Tom Phillips. However... the man was really good. I thought he was amazing. I thought he was, like, as close to the play-by-play, as I mentioned on the news, as Michael Cole. And whether you like Michael Cole or don't like Michael Cole, when it's coming to the real big moments in WWE history, while he's commentated, he's got them most of them right. All right, everyone's going to start screaming about the Bianca Belair call. But, like, most of Michael Cole's big moments, you want him there because he hits you. He's like Martin Tyler in the football, Phil. I know you know about this. But he shouts any big line when somebody wins a game, Aguero scores.
That's a weird catchphrase.
It was quite hard for him to say as well at the time, because he was under a lot of pressure. But just getting it right. I wouldn't make a good play-by-play, as we're clearly figuring out here. But the way that he delivers everything, I thought he was great. And the fact that he was so versatile, he could work on every brand and never felt out of place, it just seems so weird to me. I know they're going to get Jimmy Smith, and I think that's, you know, again, good luck. You're going to need it. But they need a really good person to fit in that slot. And Tom Phillips is the really good person who would fit. And that, I don't get it. I don't understand it. But then again, why would I try and apply logic to any of this?
Yeah, Phil, we're talking about this in the news this morning with Nicholas. I was like, I get it with Jimmy Smith. I think he's a very, very talented guy. And I'm excited to see what he does on Raw next week. But considering the life expectancy of Raw commentators dwindling very quickly with Adnan Virk going after 6 weeks or whatever it was, it's a hell of a leap of faith, not only to put Jimmy Smith in there, which I'm not against, but also to be like, we don't need this backup shoot just in case it all goes wrong on Monday Night Raw. It's a surreal decision.
Yeah, totally, absolutely bizarre. When it came, like found out about it yesterday, I was just like confused, because it's just, you don't picture him even on the chopping block at all in WWE for ages. I've no idea about Jimmy Smith's work. I've never seen him do anything else, so I'll be coming into him completely fresh, and obviously wishing the best of luck with it. But it's very much a cursed seat at this point in time. But it's just the Tom Phillips thing is so weird, because he feels like he's been built and molded from the ground up as a WWE guy. like not since probably Michael Cole has someone been so molded by the WWE brand into the fact that it kind of becomes his personality, is that he is the WWE brand. Mm. And you'd think that's exactly what they're looking for from a commentator, but I guess not. Like, them molding a guy into exactly what they want him to be isn't enough anymore. So who knows what is. Good luck, Jimmy Smith.
Give us what we want. That's not what we want.
One final thing to talk about, Phil. Just a small matter of WWE partnering with New Japan Pro Wrestling. What?
Yeah, I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's so weird.
Until Roman Reigns turns up on a New Japan show, I will still not believe this is happening.
Like, I was doing the news with Sige today, and I had to force him to get to the fantasy matches that we all want to talk about, because he was like, well, it's never going to happen, is it? And even if it does, it's just WWE going, you can't play with the other children, you just have to stay here. It's a preventative measure, isn't it? Especially when you find out, Phil, that it started in, what was it, late March, early April? I wonder what else is going on.
Funny that, isn't it, eh? All this talk of forbidden doors, we need our own forbidden door that we can put a massive lock on. But yeah, there are so many fantasy matchups of it. It's like, if you go into full fantasy mode, it's utterly fantastic trying to think of all the different possibilities. But then you jump into the reality world of what that would actually mean. And even if it did happen, like how much they'd actually let people do, like a WWE guy is going to be losing to New Japan guys anytime soon. I highly doubt it.
And vice versa, to be fair.
New Japan are
quite protective of their guys too.
Unless you ended up just having a bunch of mid-carders going up against a bunch of mid-carders and they're like, yay, crossover.
Main event's about to get real good.
I think it's just exciting. It was mainly me and Sige booking Tomohiro Ishii against people, if we're perfectly honest. I know you can have, obviously...
the Miz.
Oh, my God.
Against Vince. I would like to see him against Vince. Oh, Brock, man. God. Oh.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, my God. Good Lord. Right, well, that's me. That's me for the day. I've literally never, ever thought of that match. No, that's all I want in the world, ever.
He'd come up to, like, his nipple or something. It'd be fantastic. And he'd still headbutt him somehow.
Yeah. It'd be amazing.
It's like, you know, talking about, like, Tanahashi and... Zack Sabre Jr. and like Chad Gable. And I was like,
you can go Takagi against anyone over there at the minute.
You've got to do Okada versus Cena, surely. I mean, that's like,
could you imagine if WWE got Kota Ibushi before AEW did?
Oh my God.
Yes. In fairness, they have technically already had Kota Ibushi before AEW. Yeah,
this is true.
There's history there. There is history.
But yeah, I was saying, who'd you like Okada to face? And I'm thinking he's going to say, like, Sami Zayn. That'd be great.
Cesaro,
exactly. And he went, Brock. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, we're going that way, are we? All right, fair enough. But just in summary, Nicholas, odds of this happening?
Oh, there's more chance of me singing the national anthem and watching Eurovision.
Well, as I said, let us know your thoughts on everything we've discussed on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. And if you want a full rundown, a full preview of AEW Double or Nothing ahead of this weekend's show, which we'll be live streaming our reactions to, Adam Nicholas and Ben Return on Sunday night, that podcast with myself and Michael Sidgwick breaking it all down comes out tomorrow lunchtime. But enough of all that. It's now time for a Bloody Good Quiz. And this week's quiz is brought to you by Barton Keys, who writes simply, love the podcast, lads. You are legends. Thank you, Barton, for that. If you want your name associated with a hashtag bloody good quiz, all you need to do is subscribe to What Culture Wrestling and leave us a review on iTunes. But you've probably guessed where I'm going with this week's quiz, lads. It is all about the history, I mean, the previous two shows, of Double or Nothing. So... It's a weird, looking back on this, Phil, particularly for you and I, is a weird look, because it's like last year, empty stadium, and us doing the live stream in the midst of oh, kind of feeling sad about the ongoing global bastard being here for the next year. And then the previous year, us being very, very lucky, obviously, to go to the show, finding out, what, 3 days before, you sending a message going, lads, have you just got an email?
Yeah, we found out on the Thursday, was it? Oh, no, we found out on the Tuesday and we flew out on the Wednesday, Thursday. So oh,
absolutely ridiculous. But yeah, it's a great show, topsy-turvy show, let's say, over the past couple of years. But 10 questions all about it. Usual rules apply, gents. Multiple choice, shout your name, wait for me to come to you. And most importantly, this is just for fun. I've slowed that down now. I've learned from previous mistakes. Right, okay. Question number one. In 2019's Casino Battle Royal, what suit did Glacier enter as part of? Was it?
Oh, God, right, okay.
Clubs, diamonds,
Is it bad that I'm sitting thinking, was he wearing a suit?
Why was he wearing a suit?
Why was he wearing a suit?
Kind of ruins the whole thing.
He comes in like a little pinstripe number with his with his mask on, though.
That Casino Battle Royal, obviously, was won by Hangman Page, but that was a real breakout moment for MJF, I thought. It was
really good, wasn't it?
It's just like, oh, there's a guy in here with no legs. I guess I'll get the crap out of him then. was Glacier's suit clubs, diamonds, hearts, or spades?
Phil, why not? Diamonds.
Wasn't diamonds.
That's a good guess, though. I see what you've done there. Well, I see where the brain's gone. I'm going to say spades, please.
It's not spades. It was, in fact, hearts.
Hearts. Oh, isn't that
all
nice?
About love. That's why. Yeah. Okay. Question two. First five questions are all about 2019, obviously. Britt Baker won the four-way women's match, but who did she pin? Was it Nyla Rose, Awesome Kong, or Kylie Rae?
Nicholas Bollocks. Was it? Maybe that's too obvious. No, I'm going to go with it. Was it Kylie Rae?
It was Kylie Rae.
Yeah.
That was when they brought out Awesome Kong, wasn't it? I loved that moment. I mean, obviously, I haven't done a great deal with her since.
But, oh, yeah. Because when you were at the actual show, I'm just thinking, me and Murray were doing the live stream for it. It's all coming back to me now. Oh,
I think it is. Were getting a video call towards the end of that show.
You did. If I recall correctly, yeah, I think you are right.
Okay, question three. 1-0 to Nicholas. What rating did Dave Meltzer give Cody versus Dustin?
Nicholas. Oh. I mean, he's got to have gone high. And why have I jumped in? You're going to give us the stars. If I get this right. Well, I think I seem to recall he went really high on it. I can't remember. I don't think he went 5 with it, though. So can I do like 4.75 stars?
You can. You would be wrong, but you can.
I'll have the options, please.
Well, I wasn't going to be my answer. I was going to pick. I was only asking if I could.
The options are, you're in the ballpark. 4.25 stars, 4.5 stars, 4.75 stars, or 5 stars, Phil Chambers.
Oh, did he not give it 5 stars? I genuinely can't remember.
Planted the seed, haven't I?
You have, yes. And now I'm thinking, I was originally thinking 5, because why wouldn't you?
But saying that, Phil, it might be, you know, because it feels very Meltzer. That it had everything Meltzer would want in a match, didn't it?
I'll go 5.
It was rated 5 stars by Dave Meltzer. Just a spectacular match that. I distinctly remember looking up on the screens from where we were and going, oh, his face paint's coming off quite fast there. Oh no, that's his blood.
Yeah. Face paint doesn't pour off your face.
Also,
how has he got more face paint now? How's that happened?
Because we'd moved at that point, Phil, to be with you, because you were in the like press accreditation bit, and we'd sorted all that out basically. And I distinctly remember, I'm not sure if it was around that point or maybe later on in the night, that Chris Van Vliet introduced himself like we didn't know who he was. Hi guys, I'm Chris Van Vliet. Yeah.
Yeah, we know who you are, Chris.
We know you are, Chris.
Can we tell the story of the seats in there?
Oh yeah.
Because originally I was sat on my own because we'd only actually managed to get one press seat. Well, we thought we were going to get more press seats and then we didn't. So then we got like you two got some other tickets elsewhere in the building and I was in the press zone bit. So we went in. I was like, okay, see you later. Like said our goodbyes at the beginning of the show, where I was really sad that, well, torn because I get way better seats than you, but sad because I don't get to sit next to Adam Wilborn at a live wrestling event, which is one of the biggest joys in life, let's face it.
It is. It really is, to be fair. It's right up there.
And so like after the first match, I was like, there's loads of empty seats here, and like just drop them a message. And we're like, and there's no one checking the tickets at the door. So basically you just broke in and stole some press seats.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say, I wish I'd been there, not to watch Double or Nothing. I mean, that would have been nice, but seeing the look on Adam Cleary's face when you told him that you were going to be sitting in the special seats and he was going to have to sit down with the peasants like the rest
right
of us.
Right up in the bleachers as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. That I can imagine that was, I bet you had quite a few conversations with Wilborn and that, like Dastardly and Muttley go, I tell you what, it is
fascinating.
Let's
not go and sit with him. Let's leave him on his own.
Looking back at that footage that you've got of Ambrose coming out, as we said this, didn't we? We noticed that you were stood right next to Alex McCarthy, of course, from TalkSport.
Yeah.
Who was, not to say he was a nobody at that point, but he wasn't known as well in the wrestling industry at that point. And he's just floating around in the background of that video. So there's a little bit
Brian Satton's in there somewhere as well, yeah. I think. Uh-huh. Sitting with all of them.
I just don't remember the end of that, because it was such a bonkers show, and we'll get into another thing that happened in a second. But I remember, because obviously Phil, the reason why he got the accreditation in particular, of course, is to go to the media scrum, whatever it's called, yeah, afterwards, and get all the great interviews and stuff like that. And Phil was, we were messaging each other going, oh, yeah, we'll meet you. And it was just me and Cleary just like, yeah, cool, we're just outside. We're hanging out with Bill Apter randomly. I've got his mobile number. We'll try and chat to him or something tomorrow. It was the most surreal sort of, week or so, that mad old week.
Well, I was getting my Mark Henry barging me out of the way so we could go and interview Cody.
Speaking of John Moxley, question number four, one each. Who did John Moxley attack first when he gate-crashed the main event post-match? Was it Kenny Omega or was it Chris Jericho? Who did he lay his hands on first?
Nicholas. Oh, man. I think... Sugar. Jericho.
It was, yeah, Chris Jericho. Kenny Omega, of course, still down.
He was
down,
standing up. He had that great shot of him slowly turning around towards him.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I just couldn't remember though if Moxie like booted Kenny out the way to go after that. Do you know what I mean? Just quickly shoved him out the ring or something.
I doing the research, I just double checked it. Jericho goes, "What the hell are you doing?
Yeah, what the hell are you doing?" Yeah, it's good, like.
And then obviously, he lays out Jericho. I think I even in the post in the review, I don't think I'd even really heard of the Judas effect. So I don't know what I called it. I was like, back elbow Judas bollocks or whatever it was. And then yes, I distinctly remember saying the line to you, Phil. Well, I'm not technically wrong until he touches someone. And then, he kind of touched Chris Jericho and particularly touched Kenny Omega, particularly throwing him off that stack of chips. Madness.
Right next to us, that was.
Mm-hmm. Texting.
He was just coming to prove to you, Wilborn, that it wasn't a work.
Specifically.
The next day, just going, thanks for the tweets, lads. Yeah, I got it.
Got the message. Got the message.
I have used that video so many times since.
Me too. That's coming handy. Sorry, we were doing a quiz, weren't we?
Where are we? 2-1, 2-1 to Nicholas. Final question about Double or Nothing 2019. At how many views does our What Went Down of Double or Nothing 2019 have? Mainly, of course, because it features me. And there's a bit of Chris Cyborg in there, I suppose. 310,000, 410,000, 510,000 or 610,000 views.
Phil, why not? I don't actually know. But I know it got on the trending tab and that's why it did so well. And that's when Chris Cyborg started tweeting you saying, you're welcome for the views and stuff. I don't know how high it went. I'm going to go...
And that's the question, isn't it?
510.
Is the correct answer. Good. 500,000.
Nailed it!
And not because Chris Cyborg's in it. She's there for like 10 seconds. And I just said, all right, enough of you. Back to this. Back to the real star of this show.
That is so funny because you are so like trying to keep it together but also very aware that you have to do the video. And just the way you inadvertently look like you just ushered that out of it. Chris Cyborg's floating
around. Chris Cyborg is here. But you've had to make it,
you made a good call, though, because you weren't sure how much English you could actually speak. No. So it was like,
yeah,
this could get really awkward really quickly if I'm just trying to ask you super complicated questions and you can't answer.
And I know he won't mind me saying this, but we were, well, prior to filming, you feel you can back me up on this. I wasn't going to be doing the What Went Down. I was going to be filming it. And Adam Cleary was going to be doing it, but he lost his voice or was losing his voice throughout the show. And I'm slightly concerned that he wouldn't have recognised Chris Cyborg.
Nope. No.
Genuinely, a part of me really wishes he did it just to see what would have happened.
It's like that bit where there's that video. Have you seen the video on YouTube where there's a bloke walking down like New York, the street in New York, and he's talking about some science stuff, and George Lucas just walked
past
him.
Yes, in the background. Yeah. God, can you imagine her trying to take the belt off Cleary's arm and him not understanding like
what
like,
it is? What,
don't be taking the belt, and then she just knocks him out.
You didn't give me this. This guy over here did. It's his belt.
This is mine. Get off, fan.
I will never.
Trying to do a video here.
I'll never forgive Cleary and Phil there for going, yeah, you should tweet her back and offer her out just before we get on the plane to come back. And
listen, all I'm going to suggest to you is that you never bring this up again, because someone may or may not possess the footage of you during a What Culture Combat video calling out Chris Cyborg in an outtake. someone might have that. I'm not suggesting that they do. They just might have it. So who knows?
Right. Let's quickly move on to Double or Nothing 2020. Halfway through the quiz. It's two each. In 2020, Brian Cage was the surprise entrant in the casino ladder match, of course. But how much more does he weigh than Darby Allin, according to Wikipedia and their build weights? Okay. Is it 42 pounds, 62 pounds, 82 pounds, or 102 pounds?
Oh, God. Nicholas, I don't know. 102 pounds.
He does.
It has to be. It literally has to be. And that even doesn't feel like enough.
I thought the exact same thing. I was like, only 102 pounds more. Yeah. I think if I remember rightly, Darby Allin is billed at 170. And Brian Cage is 272 pounds.
Madness.
It's like Darby Allin carrying my girlfriend around constantly. That's Brian Cage.
Right. 3-2. Next question. Cody Rhodes won the TNT Championship at Double or Nothing 2020, but who didn't he face during the championship tournament? Was it Lance Archer? No one wanted to jump in there. Who didn't he face? Lance Archer, Sean Spears, Sammy Guevara, or Darby Allin?
Nicholas, I feel like it's Sammy, because I'm sure was the Darby rematch was part of it. Yeah, let's go with Sammy.
It is Sammy Guevara. He beat Sean Spears in the first round, Darby in the second round. And then, of course, Lance Archer in the final with a yawning Mike Tyson.
Yawning Mike Tyson. How would you like that momentum, Lance?
What a thrilling TNT Championship match. I just can't call it. Let's see what Mike Tyson thinks about it all. Next question. I just seem to remember this match actually happening, Phil, because I went, one, two, she's going to put her foot on the ropes. Oh, no, that's it. Hikaru Shida's the new champion.
Yes.
Nyla Rose lost the Women's World title to Hikaru Shida at Double or Nothing 2020. But for how long did Nyla Rose hold that title for? Was it 61 days, 81 days, 101 days, or 121 days?
Phil, why not? Is it 81 days?
I think it is.
Not 80.
Oh, it's not. Oh, that's what I was going to go for.
Yeah,
maybe I'll just,
I didn't think it was very long.
The next question. What was the other one? 61 was the first one, but then what's the one after 81?
101 or 121.
Oh, how short was it, Phil, is the real question here, isn't
it?
It felt short, man.
It did feel short.
And even though I've said that, I'm going to go completely against my instinct and not go for the shorter one. And I'm going to go for 101. Was that the other one?
Mm-hmm. And it is the correct answer.
Oh, yeah, look, you said that because I was about to just go, screw it, I'll go to 61. Oh. 101
days.
101 dimissions.
Get out.
Get out of this room. I'll chip myself out of this room after that. That's disgraceful.
Question 9. I forgot about this from Double or Nothing 2020. Whose face was on Sean Spears' boxers?
I don't know.
Was it Peyton Bloody Royce, Cody Bloody Rhodes, Bloody Tez, or Tully Bloody Blanchard?
Bell. Tully Blanchard.
It was Tully Blanchard's little face. Apparently, he didn't know about that, did he? Although that
ask for forgiveness, not permission, apparently. Yeah.
I don't know whether that was, you know, kayfabe or whatever, but I distinctly remember that video he did bollocking Sean Spears being one of my favourite things of last year. It's a weird one, that, wasn't it? It was just like, oh, okay, he's going to face Dustin Rhodes, and then it was like a 3-minute match where he got kegged, and you were like, okay. Right, Roger. Final question. Thinking about what we could do for a Stadium Stampede question that wouldn't be immediately obvious. So, question 10. What colour flag did Chris Jericho throw to challenge Aubrey Edwards' count at Stadium Stampede? Was it red, yellow, blue, or green?
Nicholas. Bell. Go on, Phil. You can have it.
I don't know now. See, I had red in my head before you said it. So I'll go red, even though Nicholas is shaking his head at me.
Because what would you have said?
I'm not going to say a word until you tell him he's right or wrong.
I can tell you that that referee, who I've completely forgotten the name of now, Bryce Remsburg, is it?
Yes, that's him.
Maybe. He threw a yellow flag due to over-excessive celebration by one of the Young Bucks and then received a super kick for his troubles. But Chris Jericho threw a red flag.
There you go. Well done, Phil. I was going to say yellow flag. To be fair, I was thinking of the yellow.
Yeah, he threw a red flag to challenge the count. After one of the Young Bucks kicked out from a flipping, I think it was a baseball bat shot to the head at one point. But everything went out the bloody window. I mean, there was horses and bar fights and all that bollocks.
I was half expecting that question to be, how many suplexes did it take to get all the way down the football field?
I was going to ask that. And A, I thought, I'm on a tight schedule here today. And B, I'm barely sitting, they cut away, didn't they? And then went, oh, let's go
back.
Let's go back.
I tell you what, man, everything hitting that. The more you mention it there, everything hit.
Yeah, it is worth, if you've got time before this weekend, going back and watching that, because the bit I'd forgotten, I mean, there's issues with it, but where Hardy's being held under the water and he's going through the characters and doing the gesticulations of each character whilst on the water is very, very impressive. But I think the star of the show is Sammy Guevara, who just has quite the day and had quite the day in the build to it, if I'm not mistaken. That sell of him getting hit by a golf cart. And in the match, he's like, wakes up from a sprinkler attack after being, like you say, suplex around the field. And he's like, I've won. And then you're and he's like, oh no.
I don't know, man. I think for me, it was Hangman Page.
Everything I was going to say that as well.
Everything he did in that match was just amazing. They got
stuff in
some
the
of the
bar
best,
was fantastic.
Yeah, some of the best comedy I've ever seen in wrestling. That, like, well done to the point where it just worked so, so well. That bar stuff, amazing. Him coming in on a goddamn horse. I mean, yep, sign me up. More of that, please.
Yes, it is. Oh, it's a hell of an act they're going to have to follow this Sunday. That's all I'll say for now. So final scores. After I took a point off Nicholas for his 101 claymations, means it's a draw.
Hey, as we like it. It's always for fun. So take the point. We'll have a draw.
But yeah, loads of great quizzes up at whatculture.com and well worth going back to watch Stadium Stampede ahead of Double or Nothing this weekend, which, as I mentioned, we are going to be doing a live stream for on Sunday night. Adam Nicholas, Ben Roy Turner taking care of you that. And we will be reviewing the show, myself and the Dadley boys, it's just going to take a few days because it's a bank holiday on Monday, and yeah, that's not happening. So that's why we recorded the Raw preview yesterday. Good luck with that one, ladies and gentlemen. Not that anything's going to bloody change in the interim. So
yeah, no chance.
This has been Wrestle Culture, the Double or Nothing preview. Let us know how you got on the quiz and your thoughts ahead of the pay-per-view. As I said earlier, at What Culture WWE. Actually, you can follow all three of us. You can follow Phil Chambers at...
at Phil My Chambers. And you can follow Adam Nicholas at...
at It's Adam Nicholas. And you can follow Adam Wilborn at...
Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at What Culture WWE. As I said, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, the daily wrestling podcast, including, as I said, a full in-depth preview of AEW Double or Nothing 2021 with myself and Michael Sidgwick out tomorrow. But this has been Wrestle Culture. My thanks to Phil Chambers, to Adam Nicholas, to you for joining us. And we will see you soon.
Wrestling.
Wrestling.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.